Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns play and Austin Talks Sports.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new.
Oh, man, wake them up. Get them up. Get them going. It is B&E on a Friday, and we are, probably hear the heavy equipment, the lawnmowers. We are live on scene at the NFL Alumni Austin Chapter Annual Golf Tournament at Great Hills Country Club. It's going to be a beautiful morning. It's going to be a tremendous day. They will honor Quan Cosby as their person of the year, and we'll talk to the who's who of the NFL Austin Alumni. NFL Alumni Austin Chapter throughout the course of our 4 hours this morning. It's going to be a good one. You will, though, hear some natural sound like lawnmowers behind us
yes.
as we get this thing rolling. And we always say zero dark 30. Well, it's zero dark 30 right now at 6:01 on a Friday. We are live. We are local. We are digital. We appreciate you being there. However you find us, at 104.9 on the FM dial, 101.9 FM, AM 1260. And you know, we are always streaming live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Mr. Godbolt.
Good morning.
Thank you for bringing the canteen light.
Little cantina light that I got from
did you order that
Tractor,
on
Tractor Supply.
Tractor Supply.
Tractor
I thought
Supply.
Maybe you called like.
No. I didn't do the 1-800 QBHTV or whatever it is. I decided not to go that route.
Sweet.
Good morning to at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and, of course, all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you so very much for what you do. It is appreciated. This is kind of a special day. This is always a very fun event, and we're at the Great Hills Golf Course, Ian. Boy, things have changed here. They have got some new digs here. Last time I was here was over 20. It was about 20 years ago.
Really?
That I played here. One of my buddies, one of the Texas Cheaters, one of the original Texas Cheaters, Carl Miller, lived right down this fairway here, number 10. So, but things have changed. It really is a beautiful place. They've got some. Looks like they got a brand new clubhouse.
Oh man!
The old cantina behind us still stands, and they're going to demolish that, and all that will still be a parking lot. We'll be parking for folks to come right up.
Well, we know that in Central Texas, throughout Texas, the golf industry booming through COVID. You know, there've been some industries that have been ravaged by the COVID virus and the shutdowns. Golf, not one of them. And you know the growth of Austin in this area out here near the Arboretum, and yeah, Great Hills Country Club has really taken on a new shape and a new face. It's a beautiful spot. It's going to be a beautiful day. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll also do our normal Friday fun and get you into your weekend with a lot going on. Final weekend of the NBA's regular season is on tap. Looks like it's going to the last day to decide a lot of things in the NBA. We've got baseball. We've got football news. And we have a lot to do, but this is going to be fun. Obviously, excited about our guest lineup this morning. It's one of those things we kind of play it by ear of who shows up when, but throughout the course of the morning, excited to talk to Ed Too Tall Jones.
Oh, I can't wait to talk to that
big
guy.
Big Too Tall. What a beautiful golf swing he has for one of the great.
The big man?
Yeah, the big man. Just a heck of a guy. I believe that throughout the course of the morning, I know we'll talk to Quan. Quan Cosby will be here. Derek Johnson, the lifetime Longhorn and Kansas City Chief, great. We also talked to Fozzie Whitaker and many, many more. Whoever rolls through, we'll grab and talk to as they warm up and tee off and do their thing here at the NFL Alumni Austin Chapter event.
Yeah, there'll be some old ball coaches here.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, my buddy Rex Norris will show up today. And he probably won't recognize me with this beard because he's getting that old. He probably wouldn't recognize me if I didn't have a beard. But temperatures today are supposed to be fantastic. And then we start into the rainy season. The quagmires
will enjoy the weather today because it's gonna turn starting tonight and into tomorrow. It's going to be rough. So we'll get you ready for all that. We have a lot to do, as we say. Let's start, as we do each hour, first 3 hours here of the show with the trending topics, the news you need to know as you get up and out on this Friday morning. Sinus and Snoring Specialists bring you the news. And, yes, we will start with news from Texas basketball. As the lawnmower goes by, Texas freshman forward Greg Brown III announced yesterday that he is indeed declaring for the NBA draft. He will sign with an agent. His career at Texas is done after just one season. The former Vandergrift Viper played in 26 games at Texas, started 24 of those, 21 minutes a game he averaged, 9.3 points, 6.2 rebounds. He becomes the third player from the Longhorn 2020-2021 roster to declare for the draft, joining Matt Coleman and fellow forward Kai Jones. In the NBA last night, Knicks rallied to beat the Spurs at MSG, 102-98. They continue to chase that four seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs. Alec Burke led New York with 30. Julius Randle had 25. Knicks just a half game back of Atlanta with two to play this weekend. Spurs locked into the 10th seed in the West. They will be in the play-in tournament next week. Major League Baseball last night, Miles Straw scored on a wild pitch in the 11th inning to give the Astros a 4-3 win over the Texas Rangers in the first game of that four-game Lone Star Series at Minute Maid Park. Jose Altuve's three-run double in the second put Houston up early. Rangers rallied back to tie it at three on Willie Calhoun's homer in the third. Game remained tied until for the next seven innings as both teams struggled with runners in scoring position. Astros 2-for-8 on the night. Rangers 0-for-11. With opportunities to get a big knock. Game two of that series tonight at Del Diamond last night. The Lone Star AAA affiliates also opened a series. Sugarland Skeeters took down Round Rock 10-4 on a Thirsty Thursday. Same two tonight at 7:05 on a Bud Light Fireworks Friday. In golf, after a month off and about with COVID-19, Jordan Spieth is back and sitting atop the leaderboard after the first round of the AT&T Byron Nelson Championship up in McKinney. Spieth shot a 9-under-63 in round one at TPC Craig Ranch. He is tied with J.J. Spawn.
This hour brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialists. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialists, 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
Well, George Spieth must have got that COVID right after the Masters.
He did. Right after the Masters. Of course, we won down in San Antonio and then went to the Masters. Tested positive and was down for a couple weeks and now is back. And, they're playing that AT&T Byron Nelson at a new course, the Craig Ranch course there in McKinney.
Yep.
Northeast of the Metroplex.
They crushed it yesterday.
Now. Yes, a couple of 63s for he and Spawn. And we'll be good. Last time he played in Texas, he won.
That's right.
San Antonio. So Spieth is back. It's one of those roller coaster Jordan Spieth-like rounds where he's kind of all over the place but still scrambles for a 9-under, made some long putts.
Made a great putt at 18.
Yeah, to finish his round.
50-footer.
That'll be fun. Dustin Johnson was supposed to play in that but pulled out this week with an injury. So the field not as robust, but Jordan Spieth is certainly there. So that'll bring out the crowds.
Scheffler's there. He played with Scheffler yesterday, yeah. Which must have been a little bit of fun.
The former Longhorns,
yeah.
Getting after it. So, yeah, golf on the brain for sure as we're out here at Great Hills Country Club. And this with all this equipment that's going around, it reminds us of our Texas OU weekends.
It does.
By the way, that McKinney course, Craig Ranch, not far from where we do the show typically the Friday before Texas OU up there in that area of Dallas, North Dallas.
To get teed off.
To get teed off at OU golf event. And this will be similar to that because this is a lot of the same folks will be rolling through here.
It's true.
So we've got a little football on the brain. We've got golf on the brain and the rest. But this will be fun. And I know you like this day. You get to catch up with some old faces. And, the fact we haven't done this in a couple of years because 2 years ago it got rained out, if you remember.
Right.
And then last year, obviously, with COVID, everything got shut down at this time of year. So
and now, of course, the Hills of Lakeway, we've been there forever. Now they're having they're doing everything. They were doing the greens. They were doing the fairways. They're doing everything. So we've got to get ready for that for sure. And we're here, and this is a great old course right here. It really is. But the new digs around, once again, for those that haven't seen Great Hills in a long time, where they are now, new, clubhouse, new eating facility, new swimming recreational area up here. It's pretty. It really is. Now, there's still construction here, so it's not as pretty as I'm talking about. It's going to be beautiful. It really is.
Yeah. No, it's a fantastic spot, and it's in a good location, obviously. The Arboretum is just
goodness.
Right there, and 360 is about 2 miles away.
Q2 is not very far away, the stadium.
The new Q2 stadium where the Austin FC will be playing their home games beginning in June. So, yeah, it's a good spot here at Great Hills, and we're excited to be here this morning. Yeah, Hills of Lakeway going through a complete redo.
Yeah.
So they're getting cranked up, so that's where this thing has been for the last – several years. So we'll talk to everybody this morning. I was texting with our good friend Raul Allegre last night. He's the president of the Austin chapter, and he's got doing your golf tournament, Buck. There's a lot going on. You're trying to make final details and get I know people are dropping out. Who's in? Who's out? So we'll see Raul this morning. We see our buddy Dan Neal. We'll see the whole crew as we get this thing rolling on a Friday morning with a lot to do. Also, as we said, the NBA weekend coming up, and be interesting to see. I don't know, Isaiah Collier back at the Horn headquarters, man in the ship there. Big game last night late. If you didn't stay up to see it, Phoenix and Portland were playing, and that's big for Portland because everyone's trying to avoid this play-in tournament, right? The 7 through the 10 seeds will end up having to play next week for those final two spots. And you'd like to stay out of that if you can. You get some rest, and then you lock yourself into one of the top six. And Portland is in that mix. So Portland's playing Phoenix last night. They're up a point, and Phoenix is going to have the final possession. Devin Booker goes to the basket and doesn't get touched.
The phantom foul.
The phantom foul, if there ever was one. With 0.9 seconds to go, Terry Stotts, the coach of the Trailblazers, was livid. I mean, he challenged the play. I mean, there was never even any contact. Devin Booker kind of went to the floor, but it was on his own. He kind of lost balance. He goes to the foul line, makes two shots. They win the game. And so now Portland going into the final weekend, the Lakers have a chance to overtake them. And
right.
The Lakers could get into that sixth spot, and all of a sudden they're out of the play-in tournament. Portland is in it, which you do not want to be in that. Isaiah, what did you think of that flop? You're the best official in Texas. You officiated many a basketball game. What did you think of that call last night?
Terrible. Just like refereeing has been terrible all year around. College, high school, YMCA, NBA, doesn't matter. If you're a stripe, zebra, and you're on the court, you are awful right now. And that
Listen
was
to
a
the
huge example
best
yesterday.
Official in the state of Texas.
Oh,
right?
I'm wearing my ref jacket proudly right now. I wear it all the time. It's an expensive it's an expensive ass jacket. I'm gonna rock it out. It's clean. I'm gonna rock
goodness.
It out. And
That's
I'm very
phenomenal.
Proud. But yeah, it was a bad call, and it was huge for Phoenix too, because now they're one game back to the one seed with Utah.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it as we talked about, the NBA has not been a great product this year. There's been a lot of injuries, which have been the main story to a lot of big stars throughout the course of the year. But as we get to the final weekend, it's pretty compelling because we could go to Sunday, and as they just said, the 1-2 seed will be up in the air. 6, 7, 8, 9, all the way down will be decided in the Western Conference on the final day. Same over in the East where the Knicks, the Knicks beat the Spurs last night. They're trying to get to that four spot because they'd be in, but they won't be able to have home court advantage in their first round series in the 4-5 matchup. Right now they're sitting at 6 along with Miami. Atlanta is in that conversation. So it's going to be fun this weekend if it is indeed raining in Austin, Texas. Sit back, watch the Austin FC tomorrow afternoon, watch some basketball, and then the NBA playoffs will begin tomorrow.
Zay, where do you see NBA right now?
Next week, I should say.
Yeah, with the health-wise of all the teams. Who's the healthiest that you think right now that are the contenders, the real live contenders going into this thing?
I would say Milwaukee right now. Yeah, the Bucks, they're looking pretty healthy with Drew Holiday and Giannis.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
You know, the Bucks are interesting to me because am I wrong that Giannis is kind of the Lamar Jackson of the NBA, right? Lamar Jackson, the quarterback of the Baltimore Ravens.
Gets you to the playoffs.
Like, great regular season MVP. No one doubts the skill and the talent, just electrifying performances, but can you get them over the hump? You know, they've gotten to the playoffs and not been able to get through with Giannis, and do they have that second star? Do they have the roster to climb through seven-game series in the East? That'll be interesting because Giannis kind of has that tag, right? Great regular season player, but in the postseason, the inability to shoot the basketball and the inability really to have a second guy, a second all-star to get them through the Torontos or the Miamis of the Eastern Conference. Is this a year where they're better, Zay, or is this more of the same in Milwaukee?
I think they're a lot better because they added P.J. Tucker this year. That's a huge get with what he could do defensively and how he could shoot the three ball, especially from the corner. Drew Holiday is one of the best defenders in the league, and he takes a lot of pressure off of Giannis, especially handling the ball. And that allows Chris Middleton to not be, the two guy where he could be the three and he could kind of float and play off Giannis and Drew. So they look a lot better. And with P.J. Tucker, they kind of have to get that chemistry and camaraderie, and I think they're going to find it and hit that stride once the playoff starts.
And you were talking about health, Zay, that Buck asked you. I mean, that leads to Brooklyn. That leads to the Lakers, obviously. Brooklyn with Kevin Durant, James Harden and Kyrie Irving, Lakers, LeBron and Anthony Davis. Obviously, those are huge factors as we head into the postseason and starting next week.
You know, Zay, I look at a team that like the Phoenix Suns. I know they're young and they've got, they've got a veteran leader in Chris Paul, but that team looks pretty healthy to me. That looks like one of those ones that can come up and bite you. If they get a couple wins, they'll grab some confidence, and they could be a problem.
Yeah, and the thing with them, they're just so young, Buck. I mean, they do got a lot of guys who have played some meaningful basketball, like Mikal Bridges played for Jay Wright and won a national championship, so he understands. And like you said, Chris Paul's been huge for the team. Devin Booker's a two-time All-Star. And, you know, they got a lot of tough guys. Like, I remember playing against Jay Crowder back in junior college. Like, he's as tough as it gets. So, you know, it'll be interesting with them because, again, we've never seen Devin Booker in the playoffs before.
Right.
And, you know, we've seen what Chris Paul can do. And the thing is, has he ever been able to stay healthy throughout his career? And, you know,
I'm knocking on wood for this guy this time. I don't want that guy to get hurt. I want the guy to play through this. I mean, he's such a great leader. It's just that, like you said, when it comes to playoff basketball, Chris Paul's hamstring tends to just
Or something,
or an ankle, or a wrist. I mean, he's had all kinds of weird injuries when playoffs start.
Well, I think it's fair to say Chris Paul, he's not going to win the MVP this year, but, boy, I would consider, if I had a vote, I would consider him strongly. It's probably to go to Nikola Jokic in Denver for what he's done this season, you know, loading up the stat page and carrying that team, even with the injury to Jamal Murray in Denver. But Chris Paul, I mean, he's further cemented. We already knew this. Wherever he goes, the culture changes. He changes. He's such a great leader. He makes everybody better.
Certainly has.
I mean, here they were in Oklahoma City last year when he was there. Remember battling for the 4-5 seed in the bubble.
Right.
I mean, with that roster, he goes to Phoenix and they were outside the playoffs a year ago. Now they're, you know, battling for the one seed. You know, that's the effect he has. We saw what he did in Houston with James Harden, his time there. Chris Paul is a phenomenal player.
Yeah, you know, Zay, he's the guy that the Boston Celtics need, a guy like that. A Chris Paul.
In his prime, though.
Yeah, in his prime, yeah.
Yeah, everybody could use a Chris Paul.
Right.
Yeah. All right, so I was checking this out as we'll talk some NBA throughout the morning. We'll talk to the NFL alumni, Austin Chapter, as they roll in here and tee off at Great Hills Country Club. But
they tee off at 8 o'clock, so it's
– I think they tee off –
is it 8 or 9?
It's staggered tee times.
Oh, it is today?
It's staggered,
oh,
yes.
Oh, good.
I mean, they've got teams teeing off at from 8 o'clock on.
Okay.
So it's not a shotgun start, I guess is what I would say. They're going to be teeing off, and the tournament kind of goes throughout the course of the day.
Well, that's a good thing for us to get the guys.
Yes, exactly. It's going to help us. Normally, with the 8 o'clock tee time, by 8, they're gone. So we got to fit them all in.
We're trying to hustle them. I mean,
they're trying to eat a breakfast taco and hit some balls, and we're grabbing them. No, that'll be different. I think we're going to have Ed Tuttle-Jones at 9 o'clock this morning, Fozzie Whitaker hopefully before 10, and then guys between there now and then will be rolling through here. And we're excited about that, Buck. But the NFL regular season schedule was announced on Wednesday. We know that, right? We talked about it a lot. And the biggest game, we know the Cowboys schedule, the Buccaneers to start the season. But the biggest game of the regular season, one of the biggest games in regular season history in a long time, will be October 3rd when the New England Patriots host Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. Obviously, there's 20 years of history with Tom Brady. There's people already in Boston wondering what the crowd will be like because it's pretty amazing that, you know, passionate, longtime New England fans were actually rooting for Tom Brady a year ago. Once New England didn't make the playoffs and the Buccaneers did, they almost turned allegiances and kind of rode the Buccaneers. So, you know, I think they'll be cheering for the New England Patriots, but I think there'll be a lot of people in Gillette Stadium cheering for Tom Brady.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. That will be one of the hardest tickets to get in sports history.
Yeah, no, well, that's where I was going. The stories are already out.
It will be the most ridiculous ticket. I mean, the New Englanders will pay incredible money to be in that stadium the day that Tom Brady
comes back. Till October 3rd, and already on the trade markets, the ticket markets, tickets are going for the worst seats in the house, $1,400 to $1,500 as of today.
I've been in those seats.
Yeah. I mean, it is the anticipation for that. And as we've also said, there's a chance if Brady stays healthy and plays well in the first three games, he could be in a position to break the all-time passing yardage mark, passing Drew Brees in that football game. It's a Sunday night game. I'll also give the NFL schedule makers this credit. It's October 3rd, which, you know, we knew that game was going to happen before the schedule came out because everyone already knew who was playing who and where. It was just about what the time would be and the dates and how it lines up. You know, but to put it on October 3rd, the weather shouldn't be a factor. You know, you play that game later into November or December.
No, later in October.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a problem.
Weather becomes a factor in greater New England. It's early enough in the season that you're hoping, if you're the NFL, that everybody's healthy and, you know, everybody's at full strength, and you got, you know, whatever Cam Newton's going to be this year, or Mac Jones has had a couple of weeks to, you know, figure it out if he's going to be the starter in New England. Really smart, because that could have been the first game, right? You could have made that the first game if you wanted to.
What they did was they really figured this out, what teams are what, how they're going to be. Dallas Cowboys, everybody wants to see Dak immediately. You know, they want to see him right off the bat. If if he's been talking about how healthy he was throughout the spring, well, the guys who make the schedule say, let's get them against Tampa immediately then.
I was reading a great story at NFL.com yesterday about that. I mean, the schedule, I mean, it's a team of people who put the schedule together, and they spend months on this thing. It's, don't think it's just they throw darts at the wall.
Oh, no. They want to see how the teams are, who's healthy, who will be ready to play at a certain time. The only one that surprised me, I thought, I don't know if we've done this before, but I thought really that the Super Bowl winners play each other somewhere down the line.
No, but that's because the schedule is automatic, right? You play your cross divisions in the other conference. You play your division, two teams, or two times each. So you already knew that, and the schedule didn't spit out Kansas City and Tampa Bay this year. Typically, if they were in the same conference, they could make that happen. But they're obviously that can't happen in a Super Bowl situation. But we'll almost always get the AFC and NFC championship game rematches. That'll typically happen during the course of a season. Not here, though. Yeah, no Super Bowl rematch, but we do get Cowboys Buccaneers, and we do get Buccaneers.
I love it.
New England, October 3rd. And remember, if you're already planning for cool stretches of the calendar as things get back to normal in the United States and here in Austin, Texas, that's a cool stretch. That's ACL Fest weekend, first weekend with that game, and then the second weekend, and that following weekend. So after the Sunday night game when New England plays Tampa Bay, the following weekend is Texas OU and Texas A&M Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, if
in College Station.
And I was
a pretty huge stretch.
I would expect 100% in all the stadiums by then.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Something drastic would have to happen here over the next 2 or 3 months in order, because we're going in the direction right now with the CDC. They're talking about not having to wear masks indoors or outdoors anymore. If you've been vaccinated or if you've had COVID already, you can start to take that stuff off, they're saying. So
yeah, came down yesterday.
Yeah, they're going to load it up. And
yeah, I think we're well on course to being full speed. But that is going to be an unbelievable week. Or so of football. Think about that. I don't mean that New England will take center stage for the NFL, but the following Saturday, the eyes of the entire college football world will be on Texas for Texas OU, and we'll see where Steve Sarkisian's team is at that point. Oklahoma could be number one in the nation, because they're going to start in most polls preseason 1 or 2.
Right.
And, we'll see where Texas is. But then A&M and Alabama, we know Jimbo Fisher, had his comment about the Crimson Tide, and Nick Saban wants to beat him while he's still there.
You mean in golf? Beat him in golf?
Beat him in golf, yeah. And he wants to beat him on the field. And I'd say this, if you're Texas A&M, I know you're breaking in a new quarterback, but if you're going to get Nick Saban, you're probably going to want to do it in your building at Kyle Field, and you probably want to do it when they're going to be breaking in a new quarterback, and replacing the entire offense, for crying out loud.
14, 15 players in the NFL.
Yeah, it doesn't mean they won't be good, but at the same time, they're not going to be experienced. You didn't want any part of that team last year with all the veterans and seniors that came back. And this would be the year that if you're the Aggies, you're year four for Jimbo, you got your guys, and your lines of scrimmage are really good. DeMarvin Leal and that group up front.
Oh, they'll be good defensively.
Yeah.
It's just the breaking in of a new quarterback after 4 years now.
I mean, not that I'm counting down the days, but, yeah, that'll be a pretty fun stretch of music and football and fun here in Austin, Texas, and throughout the great state and around the football world. All right, that is table set. A lot going on. NBA playoffs around the corner. We'll get back into some baseball as well. But we are football heavy and golf heavy here this morning live at the Great Hills Country Club out here near the Arboretum. Excited to be here with the Austin NFL Alumni Chapter. Great guests throughout the morning. Fun conversations. Lock it in. We are live. We are local. We are digital. And we're always streaming on your Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Friday on the Horn, B&E with you. Sun coming up on a beautiful Friday in Austin, Texas. It's going to be a great day here at Great Hills Country Club out in northwest Austin, Arboretum area. Great spot. And we're sitting right across the sidewalk from the par 3 10th hole, 178 yards down the hill. A little lazy right to left. You got a little draw, Buck, with your 178. I'm going probably 7 iron downhill.
I'm probably going 3 wood. Seriously? Well, it is downhill. I may be able to get there with a 7-wood.
The Heavenwood?
Yeah, but you don't want to go past this because you're going to the house.
Yeah, long is dead here.
Yeah, and left is dead down the
Long and left, not good down the ravine there. And, yeah, I'm sure that house back there takes some punishment behind the the flag there here at number 10 at Great Hills. It's where the great folks at the Austin NFL Alumni Chapter will hold their event today, and that's why we're here. We're going to talk to the who's who of the Austin NFL Alumni Chapter, and I'll be up throughout the course of this morning. We'll also get you into your weekend, get you previewed for Austin FC tomorrow. Austin FC, I'll be out tomorrow, Buck, at Moon Tower Saloon. Rod Babers and myself with our friends from Brown Distributing and Bud Light will be out there watching the Austin FC take on the LA Galaxy. One of the better teams in the MLS.
Yep.
What's the guy you talk about? Chicharito.
Chicharito is in the paper today. He is the guy that ignites that team. He's not that Chicharito of 10 years ago. None of us are, but he's still really effective for the Galaxy as they beat LAFC last week in a huge game between those two.
Yeah.
So that was that team is 3-1. They're really really good. And for Austin FC being down, Alex Ring, their leader, their captain. For an entire game, that is going to be a problem for Austin FC when you're having one of your most important players down and you're playing one of the better teams in the MLS. So
he controls things through the mid-play.
He does. He really does.
Obviously those two yellow cards were tough last week for them in Kansas City. But that'll be 2:30 tomorrow. We'll have some fun with that out at the Moon Tower, so make a plan to come on out. Join us there, and we'll tip one back and have some fun on a Saturday afternoon. We're going to have fun here today. Lead story of the news this morning, Buck. Greg Brown made his decision. The youngster from Vandegrift High School here in Austin, Texas, five-star recruit who at times looked really good at Texas, but as the year went on, became less and less of a factor in Shaka Smart's rotation. You know, we kind of wondered when Chris Beard came in to take over for Shaka Smart, could they talk him back for another year? Would that be what's best for Greg Brown and his development as a basketball player? Well, he made the decision yesterday. He is going to hire an agent. He is going to try his hand at the NFL NBA draft and hope that someone will see the potential in an ultra-athletic 6'9 player who, you know, obviously his best he hopes his best basketball is to come.
Yeah, well, he's a young man now that can go and just play the game, play against the best players. And he may not be ready to play after 1 year, but about 2 years down the road, he's going to be, because he's athletic. He's so athletic. He'll build on his game. I just thought he needed just a little seasoning, as they say. You know what I'm saying? He was one of those kids that should have probably gone off to prep school and played against real hard competition. But he stayed at Vandegrift. He wanted to play with his, you know, he wanted to play with his teammates. He wanted to be with his guys. But now he has to make a professional decision. And between he and his family, the professional decision is to go pro.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was – I mean, I don't, we'll hopefully get to talk to Greg Brown and maybe talk to his dad at some point once the decision's been made on what went into the process. Obviously, you listen to people, you talk to people, and take as much advice as you can. Isaiah Collier, our producer, you know, the question becomes, will he even get drafted in the first round? I've been looking – you know, the draft comes up this summer. I was looking at mock drafts this morning, getting ready for the show, and I don't see him in the first 30 picks. I don't see him – in that conversation right now. Maybe that changes now that he's declared and they kind of update their mock drafts because we weren't sure. But, Zay, what's your read on where Greg Brown may get selected and how long you may have to wait to hear his name?
I think it depends on how his workouts go with, you know, NBA teams and how good he looks at the end of the day. You know, when they see him, maybe he could throw some wow factors in there and bump his status up. But at the end of the day, I still think he's late first round, early second round, which is fine. Like, I think he's going to have to play some G League ball, and that's not bad nowadays. You know, coming through the G League really could, you know, make a player's game, you know, elevate. So I think Greg has a huge upside. I don't think there's anything wrong with his decision. I would have been good with it either way, and I'm excited to see his growth.
He's a young guy that could have gone G League immediately and made a bunch of money. Zay, he was in that realm with those kids that are gone off, and, you know, all of a sudden the G League is paying you, you know, $1 million, $500,000, and why should you go to school if you don't want to play school? You can always come back and go play school. And he could have been playing some of the best players. But, I mean, I got to commend that guy for coming to the University of Texas. He wanted to come to Texas. It's not like it didn't work out. I mean, he's still going to get into the NBA someday. It's just he thought that coming here for a year would still – it's almost like him staying at Vandegrift instead of going running off, say, to prep school. He wanted to be a Longhorn. And he wasn't going to be a Longhorn for 3 years anyway, no matter what, or 2 years. He was just going to do this for a year, correct?
Yeah, we all knew he was one and done before the season even started. And it's unfortunate because he just left a sour taste in everybody's mouth on his way out of here. You would like for him to come back and kind of redeem himself for those bad games that he had towards the end of the season. But I think he's going to be a way better NBA player than a college player.
And it's interesting, Zay, I know you were frustrated with the lack of, you know, coaching at some level he received, the development. Because remember, this guy started his first 10 games, he was playing great. First 10 games, he had a 24-14 game mm-hmm. against Oklahoma State. He had a huge game, I think it was in Kansas, at Kansas State, where he had 17 points and shot 4 of 5 from beyond the arc. I mean, he looked like he was trending towards having a heck of a freshman season, and then it just fell apart. I mean, was that maturity? Obviously, Big 12 coaches figure out what he's doing well, and they're able to adjust to that and kind of take him out of his game, and did he respond? But I don't know that he got the best, you know, we talk about this in football a lot, the best development from the coaching staff. I don't know that Greg Brown was helped as much as maybe he should have been.
You know, Zay, I'll say this. What they have to do is you have to continue to coach a guy like that. You know what I'm saying? If, as he said, he started out kind of on fire. He was looking good. You thought the team was going to go a long way, and you thought he was going to be a big part of it. But for a young player like that who's NBA-bound, that doesn't mean you stop coaching him because he has good games. It looked like they almost stopped, and he's good. He's ready to go. He can do all this on his own. And he was kind of left alone, it seemed like. You know what I'm saying? That he just didn't get any better. As a matter of fact, he got worse. And it may have been that they thought he was ready to go.
Yeah, and that's why that coaching staff's not here anymore, because when you got a guy that's a freshman, he's going to hit the wall eventually. So
right. At
the end of the day, you got to have, you know, really good coaching to help him get through that, and obviously we didn't see that this year.
Did not, and obviously it culminated with him walking off the floor in that Big 12 tournament game and you know, showing his immaturity, you know, frustrated with Shaka Smart, frustrated with his play. Was going to get pulled out of the game after a couple turnovers, and, you know, did the inexcusable and walked away from his team, and really didn't play beyond that for Texas. And now he's off to the NBA, and we'll wish him luck with Greg Brown. But, of course, Chris Beard has come in, built his staff, and they've already added key pieces at his position. It was going to be tough for Greg Brown coming back because
because
of the transfers that he's brought in. Timmy Allen from Utah is a you know, a very experienced player at the D1 level, an all Pac-12 first teamer. Christian Bishop from Creighton coming in. Also, the kid from Pflugerville who went to Vanderbilt for his first couple of years, Disu, coming in as well. I mean, those are all players that play his position, essentially, or could play where he was at the three.
And they played for years.
Yeah, and they're more experienced than him. So, being a starter was not even guaranteed, if you can imagine that, with Greg Brown. And now he's off to the NBA as Chris Beard has really attacked that transfer portal. He's also talked to guys like Andrew Jones and, to return. Brock Cunningham will be back for Texas on the bench. And so about a roster of 8 or 9 for Chris Beard right now in this staff. But Matt Coleman, Kai Jones, and Greg Brown all headed off to the
still
NBA
one left.
Or the professional ranks.
Right, still a big guy left. Jericho Sims.
Jericho Sims is the last decision. Exactly right. And, boy, that would be huge. Jericho.
Right, if you told me that which two would you rather had come back,
Jericho.
I would say, yeah, I need that big guy back. Big guy with the great feet.
Well, if Jericho Sims returns, and we'll get Zay's thoughts on what he's hearing on the rumor mill on that, because, you know, he's not even seen as someone who may even get drafted in the first two rounds, but
wow.
We know he's 6'10", 6'11". We know he got better as the year went on this year.
He's gotten better every year.
He's getting great shape. And if he were to come back, gosh, I would have to count it up, but Texas would have – their roster would have like 400 games of experience on their roster when you have seniors like Andrew Jones and, gosh, I mean, the kid from Utah, Bishop. I mean, all these guys have played multiple years at the highest levels of college basketball and been very good. You know, that's a unique situation in today's college basketball with the one-and-dones to have – experienced players.
Well, I mean, when his name's not even on any of these lists, I mean, why do you go? Where would you go? To Europe and just make money, or would you come back here and develop your skills for another year? Because you've gotten better every year that you've been here. So and that was under Shaka Smart. How about 1 year under this guy as a big man?
Potentially. Zay, what are we hearing on Jericho? Anything?
Possibly second round, but most likely he'll go undrafted. And hopefully they can bring back, you know, the summer league so he could get, you know, signed for a team and get some summer league run in and maybe get picked up by a G League team. But at the end of the day, there's nothing wrong with going overseas and coming back to the league. We've seen it with PJ Tucker, so it works. It just depends on, you know, how bad you want it.
No doubt. I got to ask you this, too, while we're on basketball, and then we'll get back to the conversations of the morning. But I keep looking at these mock drafts, and the Rockets have the worst record. But everybody has Oklahoma City with the first pick. What's going on? Are my Rockets not going to get the first pick? What's I know they have to win the lottery to claim the first pick, but they only have 16 wins this year. But is there a trade scenario I'm not knowing that maybe Oklahoma City could sneak in there and grab that number one?
Yeah, I have no idea, too. I have to do some research myself. That's interesting.
I think because if Houston, I think if when the lottery comes, if they drop out of the top four, the pick then goes to Oklahoma City, and Oklahoma City would then have two of the top five picks, which when that would just got the, I mean, the Rockets traded James Harden. They've got all these assets, but you know, they want to be in line in Houston to take a Cade Cunningham out of Oklahoma State, the one-and-done freshman, someone to start to build that franchise back around because they are talent deficient, to say the least, down in Houston with the Rockets among the, after the trade of James Harden and Russell Westbrook now in Washington. All right, Buck, we'll come back. When we do, what's your B&E fact of the day? We'll continue our conversations. Looking forward to talking to the who's who of the NFL Alumni Austin chapter throughout the course of the morning. We'll run down what we believe our guest list will be throughout the course of the morning. We'll also get into our coach's corner next hour. It's B&E with you on a beautiful Friday. Glad you're with us, live, local, and digital.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Is B&E with you on a fantastic Friday in Austin, Texas. It's going to be a good one. Got sun coming up. We're live here at the Great Hills Country Club near the Arboretum. And look at that view of the sun. Normally we get a nice view of the sunrise from our fourth floor headquarters on 360 this morning, out and about in it, watching the sun come up.
Yeah, it's that chilly time just before that, when that sun rises, where you hit that.
Yeah, when it gets colder.
Yeah, man.
I was just on the putting green behind us, rolling some putts, and I was like, man, it just got colder, didn't it? Yeah, sun must be coming up.
Sun's getting ready to come on up.
That is true. That's west, by the way.
Yeah, it is.
Or east.
I guess it is.
Is that east or west, Jared Goff?
Where is it?
Could be east.
Yeah, east.
Could be
sets
east.
In the west. Jared Goff, yeah.
Jared Goff.
Yeah.
Having some fun with Jared Goff. By the way, the NFL schedule, the Lions will play the Rams during the regular season, so you get a Matt Stafford-Jared Goff matchup. NFL thought of everything, didn't they?
They worked at this one now.
Yeah, week one, they've got the Sam Darnold versus Zach Wilson, Jets. Even me, who cares about the Jets and the Panthers? But
they're
gonna play, and you know, but you know what? If it were Week 10, you probably wouldn't care.
And what Sam Darnold say to that young quarterback of the Jets? Boy, they hooked you up, didn't they?
Well, you know, Sam Darnold and Matt Rhule, they're gonna be, you know, they made a trade for him. They want to get the most out of and show that Sam. Sam Darnold wants to prove that that was more about the Jets and Adam Gase and the organization and just how bad they were. Now
the Jets have proved how much they like their young guy. Because look at what they drafted right after that to protect him.
Yeah, I mean, look, Joe Douglas is now the New York Jets general manager, and he's going to do a nice job there. He came from Baltimore. He knows how to build a roster. Mm-hmm. He learned from Ozzie Newsome and
That's right.
In Baltimore. But, you know, Sam Darnold, wrong place, wrong time, you know.
It really was. I got to believe he's a pretty good quarterback when this is all said and done.
Yeah, I mean, he had some bad games. Beat the Cowboys a couple years ago, if you remember that game.
Yep.
Where he made some throws, you're like, wow, there's the Sam Darnold that people were talking about as the first pick in the draft. But just not a lot of talent, bad coaching. And then, you know, for the Jets, I think with the new regime there, the new coach and Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas, it's like, you know what, we're coming up on whether we're going to pay Sam Darnold that next contract. Let's just reboot this whole thing. Let's just restart it with Zach Wilson. We're sitting here at the two spot. We'll have a rookie quarterback contract that we can work around for the next 4 or 5 years and you know, build our offensive line, which they're doing.
Well, there was nothing about Sam Darnold that you were going to give him a brand-new contract anyway, right?
Right. Well,
there's nothing.
Well, that's the issue. So now you get a chance to reboot it, and you get one of the great luxuries in sports.
Right.
If he's good, the kid out of BYU, you've got an affordable quarterback on a rookie contract for the next half decade that you control. I mean, that's the thing everybody wants. Now you have that as you build your team. Meanwhile, Sam Darnold gets to go prove himself with a more, you know, a team with, you know, guys like Christian McCaffrey, Samuels is there, Curtis Samuels. They've got some weapons there. We think Matt Rhule's a really good coach. We got to see him at Baylor build that thing pretty quickly. Last year they dealt with injuries, but I expect that to be a good spot for Matt Rhule where you know, Sam Darnold can show what kind of quarterback he is.
For sure, no doubt.
And then they can make a decision on him beyond that.
That's
if he's no good, guess what? Carolina will be back at drafting high next year.
He'll be pretty good there.
Think so?
Yes.
All right, so that's a part of the NFL early season with the Jets and the Panthers getting after it there in the National Football League. We're talking about Greg Brown on the way to the break, talking about his decision to head to the NBA. Greg Brown is going to need to find a lot of luck. And he's got to grow up real fast if he's going on to play with professionals. You know, that's the one thing I'm sure Zay mentioned, the G League. And you know, the NBA is doing a better job of pushing that and developing players because, you know, you just have to realize these are 19-year-old players that some just aren't ready to go live with grown men and play and compete against grown men. They don't want to be in college. That's not their deal either. But they do need to develop, and that's what Greg Brown needs to do. He needs to get better as a player, his skills, but he's also got to grow up.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously, you know, what happened during the course of the season. He is just part of some immaturity, and a lot of it is part of some frustration with him as things were as he was playing well, and then all of a sudden he kind of disappeared. I don't know if they stopped coaching him or he just stopped developing at that time. But he's just like any other kid that goes off to college. You know what I'm saying? He's going to make some mistakes. I think that one of the mistakes that I thought was the fact that Greg Brown stayed around Vandegrift and played there when he should have been in one of those hardcore prep schools somewhere where they play really tough basketball. And there are a lot of kids that go off and play prep school football too, and they come out of that place like grown men. You know what I mean? Because they're around a lot of good players. There are a lot of good prep school players throughout, and especially throughout the South. There's a bunch of them. And up in the New England area, there's a bunch of them. But those are basically football places. You know what I'm saying? That's where they have them. But I thought he should have gone and gone away. But he wanted to be with his friends.
Yeah.
And he wanted to go to the college that he wanted to go to.
Commendable. And that means his development's going to be stunted a little bit. And he's going to be behind the Cade Cunninghams and the other guys that did go out and, you know, play at prep schools and take that track. But it doesn't mean you can't catch up, right? It doesn't mean you can't develop that beyond that.
You said he's like 19 years old. I mean, what the hell?
Yeah. I mean, he's a kid.
Yeah, he's going to grow up.
He
won't be in the NBA.
And I'll plot, if you have kids of your own, you know this, they're all different.
That's right.
You know, Kobe Bryant at 19, he was ready to take on the NBA.
Well, he was traveling the world.
He was mature. I don't mean just using him as an example, but you know, LeBron James at 18, 19, you know, was built to handle that. I don't know that Greg Brown is ready there maturity-wise yet, nor basketball game-wise.
Yeah, but I'm as a fan, not mad at that kid for going to the NBA.
No.
Not coming back. I wish him luck. I wish things would have worked out better here because he was going to go anyway.
Well,
one way or the other, he was going to leave.
I mean, either way, as we said, he's going to have to fight for playing time here. Was that going to be his best opportunity? Would he develop? If you're the parents, you're sitting there trying to go through the list of, okay, well, pros and cons.
Mm-hmm.
Where can I develop? I do think even if he ends up in the second round of this draft in the G League, that's a place where he can mature, grow up.
Get
better. And in the G League, is you're surrounded by players mostly your age.
That's right.
They're young people too. But you're getting paid. You're being forced to go and live on your own and grow up. Let's hope that is the way it goes for him. So we've got that. We got our B&E Fact of the Day coming up. We're going to talk to the who's who of the Austin NFL Alumni Chapter here at Great Hills Country Club. You've mentioned it. You know, it looks like, I don't know who's doing this rebuild of their clubhouse here at Great Hills, but I don't know. I know you were out there this week at Barton Creek. You know, Barton Creek just did a big multi-million dollar renovation.
I'll be playing there today, but that place is just
gorgeous.
And it
looks very similar as far as the architecture and the style and the brick. You wonder if same people are doing this.
Stayed in town?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not on the scale of what Barton Creek did for the resort, but it's really, really nice. As you said, I hadn't been out to Great Hills in a while. The old cantina.
The cantina behind
still
us.
Here, but the new one is going to be really, really nice.
Yeah.
I was looking for you guys this morning when I parked, and I was walking through. It's really nice in there.
Yeah, the swimming facility over there is nice. The workout facility, exercise facility is fantastic, too. Probably this time next year we'll see just a brand-new place here, unless they're going back to the hills.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. We will be here all morning long, and the golfers will start rolling. I think first tee times are just after 8 o'clock, so we should – see some familiar faces as of next hour. That will include our coach's corner. We'll hit our hot or not topics as well. We'll reset your headlines, including Rangers and Astros played a good one last night, opening up that Lone Star Series down in Houston. We'll get to the results there. Also, a couple days left in the NBA regular season. We'll set that table as well. Speaking of the NBA, let's get to your B&E Fact of the Day.
B&E Fact of the Day brought to you by Dr. S. Brent Brotzman, an orthopedic surgeon providing personalized, empathetic, and cutting-edge care to all athletes from the recreational to the elite. BrotzmanSportsMedicine.com.
All right, we mentioned him earlier, Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Greek Freak, had a big game last night for the Bucks. 40 points, 15 rebounds, 5 assists, and he shot over 75% from the floor. He's the first player to do that in an NBA game since 1988. Who was that player? Who was that player that Giannis matched last night with that stat-loading performance? We'll get you the answer. That will be the fact of the day on the other side. Ahead of your headlines, live, local, and digital, streaming on your Horn app and at hornfm.com on a Friday.